Hello and welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, co-host of the Sleep Super Conference. Today, I'm speaking with Adeline Cheong, an international movement and breathwork teacher with a special interest in yoga for scoliosis and back care, restorative yoga, and yoga nidra meditation. She's a trainer and mentor on various reputable yoga teacher training and yoga therapy programs. Adeline, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be part of this movement and this conference. Exciting for me also to be part of it.
Fantastic. So I want to address right away that a lot of people's associations with yoga and rest, since this is a sleep conference, they might not associate the two. So I would love it if you could tell us a little bit about what restorative yoga is and how it contributes to your ability to rest well.
Yeah. Yoga is a big word. I mean, it's so popular now everywhere, and it really depends. The understanding of yoga really depends on what we're exposed to, because sometimes I'll hear students coming into class and say that, oh, my doctor recommend against, or my doctor recommend to do more yoga and things. Then I would also question, what is the doctors, the GPs experience or exposure, or what that they have read about yoga that suggested against or for yoga. So yes, there are lots out there in the public domain, some more fancy positions that we can see, very gymnasticky things that we see on social media, but there are also a huge part of yoga that's about stillness, that is about meditation and quiescence. And restorative yoga is in that realm of stillness, quiescence, moving into a place where there is just peaceful rejuvenation. Yeah. So in short, I would like to, if there's a definition from my experience, it's restorative yoga is a relaxation practice to support conscious deep rest.
Fantastic. And if somebody is struggling with sleep, let's say, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people can be struggling with sleep. They can be mental, emotional, physical, nutritional, right? And so when someone first starts practicing something like restorative yoga, the idea of stillness might bring up a lot of discomfort. And so how does the practice of restorative yoga kind of address that discomfort?
Yeah, thank you for that question, because that's a common question that I get asked also. Familiarity. Is the familiarity the taste of comfort and relaxation? So the first instance, if someone's used to productivity and moving and doing and achieving, it's very much also mental expectations and belief that we have to perform. Even during sleep, we have to perform and do something and achieve something. When we come to restorative yoga, we are actively choosing to undo, to relinquish the effort of achieving. It's as much a mental process as with a physical relaxation thing. So there's mental relaxation, emotional relaxation within the practice. So as much as some poses you'll see, which I'll share in the practice sessions, where we are lying around, there are some bolsters, there are some blankets, etc. But what's really happening, as much as there's some muscular relaxation, which can be also easily be achieved with massage, like when you massage, you get muscular and physical relaxation, but also a deep level of ease and peacefulness within, which is very important for stress relief and in order to sleep well. It's very much the mental and emotional relaxation that we are like after. Restorative yoga is really about manipulating the nervous system so that we shift from an high regulated like stimulation of sympathetic arousal to parasympathetic dominance. There is definitely a distinction between sleep and restorative yoga. Yeah, I would say they are cousins, but not quite the same. And that's where I want to rewind back to my definition when I said this is a practice which is a relaxation practice to support conscious deep rest, because I do distinct the word relaxation and rest. Relaxation is something that we could physiologically measure. For example, if you're in a laboratory and the EEG, heart rate monitor and breathing rate monitor, etc., you could literally see someone is moving into relaxation, heart rate's dropping and blood pressure's dropping, or muscular tone begin to relax. You can observe yourself that you're relaxing in terms of tensing up and relaxing the muscles, breathing changes. So you can pretty much say that, okay, I am moving into relaxation, I'm in that state. And only when we are in that state, then the next state is rest, where rejuvenation and healing can happen. So that's the part where the body are free from stimulation, free from stresses and load in the system, so that it could actually recalibrate, regenerate, heal, grow, repair things that we can't just lift a few like dumbbells, a few sit-ups to get it like sorted. It has to be, it's a reduction process where you're removing stresses, and then the body's left with, okay, I'm gonna repair and I'm gonna grow, I'm gonna heal the space for that.
It's so interesting, because this is why we talk about yoga, and while also presenting practices that people can follow along with and engage with, because there's such an educational piece that's so important here, right? And you bring up such a great point that all of the doctors that I've interviewed for this conference as well have also corroborated and mirrored, which is that you can't just go from like active, and then assume that your body, I just hit my microphone. Assume that your body is going to automatically sleep, right? Like, you're busy in your day, your life is full of stresses, you put your kids to bed, you watch a bunch of TV while also doing emails, and then you get into bed and you're like, I don't know why I can't sleep. Right?
It's
and putting like a practice in the middle of those things, where you adopt not only a mindset and an emotional state of like, okay, now I'm going to let go of stress, I'm going to shift my mindset, I'm going to shift my emotions, and then through practice, as the way I'm understanding you describing, give my nervous system the signals that, okay, we're going into rest mode now, we're going into relaxation mode now, seems like a fantastic way to set yourself up for the engagement of sleep and falling to sleep easily.
Yeah, very good point in terms of like when you were speaking, I'm thinking, yeah, the speeding up, and how do we unwind and quiet down, the transition of it. And again, the distinction of it from sleep, restorative yoga and sleep, is that this is a conscious practice. Sleep is basically a reversible state of consciousness. If we don't come back from that consciousness, that's called coma and death. But really, it is an active, conscious rest of the body in teaching the body, familiarizing the body what it tastes like to be at rest without falling asleep. And that gradually would help someone to familiarize with, okay, I can relax before I go to bed. Like you were just saying, speeding up, last email before I jump into bed. So we are running at like fifth gear, if there's like a kind of driving thing and there's a fifth gear really fast. How could we transition from fifth gear to third gear to second to first gear before we could rest in neutral, in zero? That's like when the body is properly like relaxed and lying down and resting. Otherwise, I'll be lying in bed, but the muscles are still tense and I'm still doing. There's still like residue of gear two, gear three in, if I have to use that as a metaphor, that is still doing something.
Or even I'm imagining a car in neutral, but the gas pedal's down, right? And you're hearing the engine rev, but you can't go anywhere because, yeah, we could take the car metaphor for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's also why some people would say that, I had my quantity of sleep. Like I had like 8 hours, 9 hours of sleep, but I still feel tired. And then I would often question the quality of sleep. has it been restful? And you've heard someone say like restless sleep. So yes, the quantity is important, but as much as the quality of it, so that it is restful in the sleep.
And I'm sure that these practices really help engage the body's ability to have quality rest. I think everybody's experienced what you described, which is having enough of a quantity of rest and yet waking up still feeling tired and not feeling like they slept, even though, you know, all evidence to the contrary. Yeah, I went to bed at 10, I woke up at 7. That was plenty of sleep. Why am I still tired? And it's this inability. Your body's still in overtime. Your nervous system is still in overtime while you're actually sleeping, trying to do several jobs that you were not engaged in. And I love how you just kind of contextualize the practice as giving your body the familiarity, like the practice of it. It's not, you know, I do it once and then I'm, you know, now my nervous system knows how to do this. It's a practice that you develop the familiarity over time. You can engage in that part of rest and relaxation faster. Not that it's a contest. We're not trying to make rest and relaxation even a contest, but that these practices build on themselves and your body becomes more and more familiar with how to rest.
Yeah, definitely. And also, you touched on a point earlier. What was it I wanted to add? Yes, the transition into sleep, you were saying. There's a practice that I have shared on this conference also, which is specifically a few positions and breathing and things that we can do, like literally a quick 15 minute. It doesn't need to be like an hour long practice and things to transition from all the emails and kitchen things into bed. Like, what could we do during the 15 minutes to shift gears to neutral gear before we get into bed, and then the body's already at that restful place. And yeah,
it's interesting because you mentioned a couple of like routines, and you know, I can't go to bed with a dirty kitchen, and it feels like this is just one of those routines that you should also engage. It's like, well, if I can't go to bed with a dirty kitchen, why would I go to bed with a revved up nervous system? Like, that's another practice of cleaning my mental and emotional and physical kitchen before I go to bed as well, right?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's it. Just like brushing your teeth thing, right? So you brush your teeth, clean up. Yeah. Clean up also physical tension in the body that we carry before we kind of lie down. And often I find that when someone lie in bed and immediately they would just knock off. I said, oh, I don't have problem sleeping. I would just, my head hit the pillow and I'm off and things. Physiologically, what's happening when someone often find that, like, it's not just one off, but regularly that way, it's probably out of exhaustion than actually resting and sleeping in terms of the quality of sleep. Because naturally, it does go through 10 to 15 minutes. Scientifically, there is 10 to 15 minutes for the body to rev down or unwind in order to then doze off to actually fall back into sleep. That's a healthy, saturated with rest body and mind than someone who is like totally depleted. So just, I mean, there will be instances if there's jet lag, if there is like just a long week of traveling or moving house or something, or young babies, it can be that. So taking that out of the equation, if that is not the case and still there is this deep level exhaustion, then I would really question, how is the sleep quality doing, and what are you doing throughout the day and the transition to bed and etc.
Great point. Yeah. I always believe that there's two types of people, the people that struggle to fall asleep and the people that fall asleep very quickly and they marry each other.
maybe
that's just me. So when we're talking about restorative yoga, is there a special time of day that it's best to be practiced? Is there any time of day you shouldn't practice this type of yoga?
Yeah. I like to generally, for me, for my practice, I like to practice it kind of midday-ish after lunch, the 2, 3 o'clock-ish when the body need that siesta. I actually really agree with siesta. I think that's a really smart thing that the body can't actually run for 16 hours without a pause. So that siesta time, kind of 2, 3 o'clock, it's pretty much the midway mark for a typical day for a regular day, except those night shift on night
Right,
shift
people
or
shift
irregular
work, yeah.
hours. Yeah, exactly. And that's when I like to have my kind of pick up. Instead of a caffeinated coffee, I'll go for my like lying down for Shavasana, etc. But saying that, initially when I first come to this practice, this is like way back now, I talk a little bit of history just for a few minutes, is that I find myself often falling asleep when I'm supposed to be in like conscious deep rest, because the body is just so exhausted from years of stress, years of stimulation. And I wasn't satisfied about that. I obviously wasn't happy about that. And I started to practice first thing in the morning. First thing when I wake up in the morning, I went into my yoga space and I lie down and practice my restorative practices, because I am so desperate to and adamant to familiarize myself with the taste of relaxation without falling asleep, because less likely that I will fall asleep because I've just woken up. At least the circadian clock, I mean the homeostatic drive in my body, the sleep cycle thing, it's hopefully there to support me, although sometimes I do fall asleep in the morning. But I managed to, over months, years, that okay, now I know it, how it feels like to stay conscious and in relaxation. Now I trust myself to practice any time of the day, even if it's later in the evening, because later in the evening, a lot of times people will be so tired and they'll just like fall asleep in their yoga practice or restorative yoga practice, which it's great if that is what they need. Sleep is what they need. We need to fulfill that sleep debt. But at the same time, if over time that we could familiarize and get that practice of staying with relaxation and rest, that really serves us in the long run and improve quality of sleep also. Yeah.
That's a really interesting point. And honestly, when I asked you that question, that's not what I anticipated your answer to be. So I'm fascinated. And you bring up such a great point about homeostatic states and circadian rhythm. And like theoretically, if you woke up and you had enough sleep to go into a practice, conscious rest practice, makes perfect sense. And also, instead of it being something that you get at the end of your day that you know, you kind of earn after you've exhausted yourself. It's something you give at the beginning of the day and then can kind of touch into throughout the day without having to do the full practice. It's like, okay, can I relax this part of my body? Can I become conscious that even that there's tension there? Can I find my breath? Can I do all of these other things? So actually brings up a good point, which is if somebody's not familiar at all with what restorative yoga might look like or feel like or what the practice might entail, or if they haven't done yoga before, they're first at the sleep conference. Can you just kind of give us a brief description of what that might look and feel like?
Look and feel like, yeah. Often when there is a new student coming into class, I say, like, we're really here to relax and lie down, which you have done for years. You already know how to get there, and you have always known how to get there. And I assure them that they have been there, because as an infant, as a baby, we always know when to relax and rest. If you recall, or probably if you have young children around and recall, they would crawl and play a little bit, engage with some toys or sound a little bit. And then when they get tired and or they have enough stimulation, they would just flop and just rest, even like not in bed, even just on a hard surface or the floor and things. And when they are well kind of rejuvenated and rested, they would pop their head up and continue to interact and so we already have that system within us. But at some point along the way, we got taught out of it because we were told that we need to be here at this time, and you can't rest yet. You can't stop yet. You have to finish this homework or probably this tuition or something before you can actually pause and rest and lie down. So I want to assure my students or those who are coming to restorative yoga for the first time that you already have that. Now it's reclaiming it more than learning a new thing. Yeah. And first thing to pay attention to is comfort. And comfort is very personal. It may mean one extra blanket. It may mean a slight different angle of your arm. What is comfortable for you? So in class, the first, very first class or very first practice, I encourage students to pay attention to what does comfort feel like? How do you make it more comfortable? How does it make it more delicious that it's enticing for you not to move? You even want to stay just because it's so comfortable already. Because the body know what is comfort. And we just need to get there so that the body could stay there and rest. Of course, with restorative yoga, there are specific shapes and position that promotes particular intention, maybe something that's more for emotional, like kind of inwardness and being with myself. And some might be like, okay, I just need more space in my life right now. And I take another restful position to attain or that intention. But all in all, it's most important is comfort, take away stimulation, discomfort, and pain in the body. Then the body would not content with those distraction to rest deeply.
It's interesting that you were saying about infants and babies really having that felt sense of knowing how to sleep. And what was occurring to me is kind of that they usually, in the best case scenarios, they have a lot of support, right? So they either have the parent, they've fallen asleep on a parent, which now that my children are older, I miss that deliciousness. Or they have the support of, you know, bedding or a pillow or something like that. And so when you're talking about kind of positionally and restorative yoga and figuring out what's good for you, and there's also supportive elements if you're in person doing supportive yoga with somebody, but things like pillows and bolsters and blankets, and, you know, you want to make sure you're warm enough, but not too warm. And that you're, if there's tension in your body, that you've got a way to kind of open it up. You know, I'm a person that sits most of the day in front of a computer. And so I often want to get my chest like open and stretch my shoulders back and things like that. So that feels restorative to me. We store a lot of tension in particular places of our body, depending on our work and our dispositions, things like the hips or the shoulders and neck and things like that. So I love that you brought up kind of the support part.
Yes, spot on. Support is huge in restorative practices. That's why the use of like pillows and blankets and furnitures, and like we could use anything to support the body so that we can have the intended shape and sustainable, because we do need the transition time. I talk about the 10, 15 minutes into 20 minutes sometimes for the body to adapt and then let go. Also, safety is a huge part for babies to feel safe, for adults to feel safe in order to let go into relaxation. Your eyes are closed, it's dark, to feel safe in the environment and also the support space in order for you to let go. It's really important, emotional relaxation.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking about how even something as simple as blankets can be so powerful in that way. And I know if I'm really struggling with something, my husband will laugh. He'll, you know, it's 95 degrees here in Florida, and he'll say, "How could you possibly add another blanket to the bed?" And I'm like, "I just need weight. I need weight on top of my body to calm down my nervous system and to get me kind of like grounded into this bed." And he's like, "Great, fold it up and put it on your side, because I don't want any part of that extra blanket."
You've totally nailed it. And weight and body compression is literally the language that speaks directly to the nervous system. So one of the traits or communication through restorative yoga is the use of blankets and compression against the body. So there's pressure. It feels like someone's hugging you. You know, when a baby is being swaddled, that swaddling gives a sense of safety and also support, like physically held and support. it speaks directly to the nervous system because it's all of, on our skin that speaks straight into the nervous system saying that, hey, you are safe, you're okay, you're totally supported, there's nothing for you to think about or to do, you can let go. And that's inducing the relaxation response in that way. So yeah, compression, it's nice. Not for everybody, but most people. Just because yeah. There might be a small demographic who might prefer, they don't want to feel restricted. They might want to feel more like, I need more like open space. And those might be the few people who prefer to have more like kind of spread out and things instead of too many layers and hugging. And so it's
would
very
do the opposite to their nervous system,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is not what we want. So it's mainly kind of... Yeah. Figuring out what feels supportive and what feels, and it might be compression or it might be laying in the shape of a starfish, right? Like it's up to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you were asking earlier for beginner student when come to a class, how do I educate? The first piece is comfort, but how do you know if that is your comfort? Is notice if it's easy to breathe. Naturally, when it's comfortable, your breath naturally becomes like easy and effortless. When it's actually effortful to have to take a deep breath and all, that there's something else that is still disturbing the body in some way that, you know, that we could attend to, basically. So notice how you're breathing and how breath is actually slowly deregulating the experience. It's one of the other key component before we even talk about like how many bolsters you need and what shape you need to be in. So paying right. attention to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it could change over time, right? Like when you get into your practice, you could need, you know, a little lift under your knees, or you could need a little support under your lower back. And then as you get into the rest and relaxation and you're able to rest, that knee might change. You might be able to stretch full out on your back or but really learning that on your own and what means restorative relaxation for you, might just take a little bit of practice and time and support.
Yeah, I really appreciate your views. Actually, you have lots of experience with restorative yoga. Sounds like the support of the back of the knees, etc., and all with flexion. Flexion is also a position for relaxation because that's the fetal shape of safety. So in generally we would encourage all major joints to be slightly flexed in restorative poses rather than like that is a startled position where you're excitable or you're ready to kind of engage and have a conversation with someone, right. Interacting with someone. So yes, that kind of inwardness and flexion of all major joints. Yes, it could be a back bend, but still the brain is quiet. There's some flexion in the shoulders, etc., rather than like kind of pushing the shoulders back. It's one of the key component to restorative practice. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, I think we're all ready to actually engage in our restorative yoga practice now. And I hope everybody checks out your session that we'll have available also for restorative yoga practice so that we can put all of this talking into action or lack of action, yeah. If you will.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. There are two practices. One practice is the pre-sleep practice where we talk about like the breath and some positions to wind down the nervous system. And the other is actually I talk about sleeping positions that are kind of restorative based, but supports the understanding of how to sleep and support the body well so that the body can physically relax and feel safe in that fetal position, etc., to relax. So sleeping positions as well as for another session.
Fantastic. Well, Adeline, how can people find out more about you outside of the other practices that we've named as well?
Yeah, I do share lots of restorative poses and some practices on my YouTube channel, on my Instagram. But of course, all the resources you'll find also on my website, which I'm sure you'll share. It's my name, adelinecheong.com. And there are lots of free resources there. There are some courses for those of you who might be interested in going deeper into learning the theory and what's happening behind the scene of a practice. Then, definitely most happy to share more.
Adeline Jeong, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.